From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Department of Natural Resources confirms that a second bear tracked by wildlife researchers in northeastern Minnesota has been killed by a hunter. A DNR spokesman says the bear was legally killed last Friday. The Wildlife Research Institute in Ely says the bear's GPS collar was turned in at the DNR facility in Tower. Institute founder Lynn Rogers says the loss of the bear known as June is, in his words, devastating. Two other research bears have been shot this month, including one animal killed September 13th and another injured on the 5th of September. Minnesota's bear hunting season runs through the 13th of October. The DNR has advised hunters not to shoot collared bears, but it is not illegal. Rogers is now left with 8 research bears. Public hearings begin next week on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's proposal to drop federal protection for gray wolves across most of the lower 48 states. Agency Director Dan Ash says the wolf's recovery in the Great Lakes and Northern Rockies is one of the greatest conservation successes ever, and that the species is no longer in danger of dying out. But some environmentalists and scientists say it's too soon to drop federal protections. Michigan's first wolf hunt is turning out to be a hot ticket. Officials say more than 1,000 licenses were sold on the first day, leaving just 100 by last Saturday evening. The hunt starts the 15th of November and runs through the end of the year. The Natural Resources Commission is allowing 43 wolves to be killed in 7 Upper Peninsula counties. Opponents hoping to stop future hunts are gathering petition signatures for a statewide vote. A wolf license costs $100 for Michigan residents, $500 for a non-resident. A U.S.-Canadian agency has released 2 reports that are part of an effort to measure the health of the Great Lakes. The International Joint Commission reports were prepared by scientific advisory panels. They're a first step toward developing methods of determining how well Great Lakes cleanup efforts are working. One report identifies 16 indicators that can be used to assess progress. They deal with topics such as chemical pollution, fish species, surface water temperature, and ice cover. During the next phase, the Commission will work with its advisory boards and other experts to develop ideas on which data to collect and how to analyze and report the findings. The Commission is also identifying human health measures such as drinking water quality and beach safety. Minnesota officials, who will make key decisions on the future of copper mining in the state, toured the closed Flambeau copper mine in Wisconsin this week. The Duluth News Tribune reports Minnesota commissioners from the state's Department of Natural Resources, Pollution Control Agency, and Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board toured the closed Flambeau mine near Ladysmith on Wednesday with staff from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Tom Landwehr, Minnesota DNR commissioner, said, quote, "We came to see what a closed mine of this sort might look like. This is one of many perspectives we intend to gather. As Minnesota moves farther into our own environmental protection processes about non-ferrous mining proposals." Supporters of Minnesota copper mining, including the proposed Polymet project, which would be Minnesota's first copper mine, often cite the Flambeau mine in north-central Wisconsin as an example of a mine that can run well, be played out, ultimately reclaimed, and not cause environmental problems. While environmental groups cite ongoing issues with runoff, including some pollutants in excess of water quality standards, a U.S. Court of Appeals decision in August ruled the company was not in violation of its permit, a legal decision interpreted by mining supporters as an example of a copper mine operating and closing without environmental doom predicted by critics. The 3 defendants in the Last Place on Earth trial will have to wait until next week to learn their fates after a jury was unable to reach a verdict during a full day of deliberations Thursday. Jurors deliberated for about 8 hours after an hour of deliberations on Wednesday. The 7 women and 5 men must reach unanimous decisions on 63 separate charges in the case, in which prosecutors say the Duluth store owner and his employees sold illegal controlled substance analogs. Store owner Jim Carlson faces 55 federal charges for allegedly selling misbranded drugs and controlled substance analogs, as well as money laundering. The 2 others face 4 counts apiece. The court is typically not in session on Fridays. A group of Anishinaabe horseback riders launched a protest in the shadow of Enbridge Energy's Superior Refinery against the company's proposed Alberta Clipper pipeline. The protest took place last Sunday. According to the Duluth News Tribune, if approved and constructed, the pipeline would become North America's largest conduit for bitumen from Alberta's tar sand formations. The project would boost the capacity of an existing line from 450,000 to 570,000 barrels per day. Yet protesters expressed concerns about potential damage the new line could cause, citing a 2012 50,000-gallon spill from an Enbridge line in Grand Marsh, Wisconsin, and an 843,000-gallon spill into Michigan's Kalamazoo River in 2010. Winona LaDuke, executive director of Honor the Earth, the group engaged in the protest, said, quote, "Enbridge should clean up its old mess before it tries to make a new one." A nationally known American Indian activist, LaDuke was one of the riders. The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission is deliberating Enbridge's petition for a certificate of need for the project. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.